Everybody, welcome to the Thursday Sports Line, the Bulldog Hour. Cap Maury alongside, as always, take it at three. And on this Thursday, also, as always, our great friend Bill Benatti has his outstanding show, Behind the Bench, the full 3 hours at Fashion Furniture with another good friend, Rod Avedikian, best furniture on the planet. Nothing like in all of California. The great conversation of Phil shows some good eats as well. El Paso across from River Park. Stop by, see Phil. Can't make it in person, you can give him a call on the Lee's Air hotline, 559-320-1430. But you can stop on by Fashion Furniture between 3 and 6 today, and actually stop by Fashion Furniture whenever you have the opportunity with the great furniture there. And as we've mentioned so often over these many years, Rod, one of the great benefactors across the valley supporting athletics, and we really appreciate everything he's done through these many years on air. And so that'll be the show for 3 hours today. Sometimes Phil gets moved around. And then the Lakers, because of play-by-play, the Lakers tonight cooperate. They have a 6:45 pre and a 7 o'clock tip against the Clippers. It's part of the Prime Video doubleheader, the Warriors and the Mavs in Dallas at 4:30. And then the Lakers and the Clips. And, of course, we'll have the Laker radio broadcast at that 6:45 slot. I'll tell you all about the schedule for today and the rest of the week, including the AFC and NFC title games on our air on Sunday a little bit later on. That comes from our pal Ed Dunkel and everything that he can do for the Valley that he has over the years. Really appreciate it as well. Because of his business, Precision Civil Engineering Planning, Land Surveying, Civil Engineering, Landscape Architecture, Construction Management, all there under one roof. More information, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net or precisioneng.net if you'd prefer. And when we go over the schedule for both 1430 and 790 a little bit later, I'll tell you about the great fundraising Ed does for his alma mater, Fresno State, through the Lyles College of Engineering, with the goal, as always, to unify athletics and academics to provide more funding resources to students. It's worked beautifully over the years. A lot of those grads go right to Ed at Precision Civil Engineering. So we'll get to the schedule for both stations a little bit later on. Matt Norville with me on a Thursday talking both men's and women's basketball. They both played last night. They both lost last night on the road, and they're both going to be home on Saturday. The women at 2 o'clock at SMC against Colorado State, and the men will follow against a suddenly very difficult task, beating Grand Canyon, who has beaten the top two teams in the conference in the last week or so. So that's the doubleheader, and I'll tell you all about that when I talk to Matt about what happened last night for both teams. We'll get to that momentarily, but first, our other two lead dogs. I want to spend some time with you. Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. Just mentioned the Lee's Air hotline. You can reach the business itself, leesair.com, or 825-5337-825-LEES. Anything you need, Central Air Plumbing, Heating, or Roofing. They've been in the Central Valley since 1981. Terrific local people. You see the avocado green and blue trucks all over the place, and we really appreciate their sponsorship over the years. And they allow me the time every day to tell you about the weather. Forecast actually shows mid-50s to 60s in the next few days, and the sun is out today. And we mentioned yesterday that there was a little bit of a system off the Central Coast, and it might have dipped into the foothill areas. But by and large, the valley floor is going to stay dry until probably next Wednesday. That's the next legitimate chance of rain. What it meant, the little bit of the disturbance weather-wise because of that system, that some of the fog wasn't as bad last night. It's supposed to return again, unfortunately, for Friday. So we'll see with dense fog tomorrow morning. And after the 54 today, a 58 tomorrow with the low at 50 or 45. Then Saturday a 56 with a low of 45. Then we go 59 on Sunday. We'll see about a very unlikely chance of rain, maybe a little bit up north over the weekend. But then when we go 60 on Monday, 63 Tuesday, 64 Wednesday, again, fog ever present with the lows in the mid-40s. By next Wednesday, we should have a shot for rain on the valley floor. We'll see how that models out. We've talked about this before. The meteorologists will tell you about the modeling and verifying and all that stuff. All I do is pass it on to you. Mid-50s now, mid-60s by Wednesday, and maybe some rain. So a good forecast as long as you can avoid the fog, and as always, be very careful out there. Anyway, thanks everybody at Lee's for allowing us the time. Again, LeesAir.com, 825-5337, 825-LEES, anything you need, Central Air Plumbing, Heating, or Roofing. The final reminder before I bring Matt up comes from another great group of sponsors. That's the local operators of KFC in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. Right now, they have the new Zinger Chicken Sandwich on the docket, a crispy hand-breaded chicken filet. It's seasoned just right and served hot on a toasted bun with cool, crisp lettuce and creamy sauce. It hits every craving. It is bold, it's spicy, and as always at KFC, it's finger-licking good. So whether you crave the spice or just the great taste, the Zinger delivers that for you with the delicious KFC crunch you know and love. So don't wait. Hop on in, I mean, with the car if you want, or hop on in by yourself if you'd like. I don't really care either way, as long as you get there to the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman and pick up the Zinger sandwich. You won't be sorry, because it is absolutely terrific. And also, keep in mind the other special deals that go on at KFC, the $10 eight-piece or eight tender offer on Tuesdays is still there, the Country Fried Steak offer on Wednesdays. You've got the great $5 bowls on sale right now, and you also have the KFC pot pie. So terrific food at the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, and we thank them every day for their sponsorship station and also how they support athletics throughout the valley as well. Anyway, thanks to everybody at KFC. Thanks to our buddies at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. Thanks to Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering. And now on the Lee's Air Hotline, 559-320-1430, our good friend, voice of the women's program at Fresno State, and very frequently on with the men, whether it's radio or television, and it is Matt Norville. Matt, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Tony. How you doing?
I'm doing just fine, Matt. I want to start off the Fresno State topic. We'll get to what happened in Albuquerque last night, also touch upon what happened in Boise for the women. But I keep getting this question, and it's become now even more prominent, because after it died down, the Giannis to the Warriors rumors of about a month and a half ago, when Bobby Marks, of course, worked with the Nets for many, many years, front office. Bobby Marks, one of the experts at ESPN, had put a potential trade up about a month ago, saying that the Warriors could send Draymond Green, Buddy Hield, and Jonathan Kuminga, and key number one draft choices to Milwaukee if Giannis demanded out. And if Giannis demands out, he can pick where he wants to go. The deal has to be good, but he is the driving force. And since we've talked about it, his wife, Mariah, happens to be a Fresno native, the daughter of Pat Riddlesberger, of course, who was an outstanding athlete here in town at Fresno State, et cetera, that maybe Giannis, who we see a lot in town, incidentally, might push to come here. And then it died down. And then you had rumors pop up again with Slayton bringing it up from the Warrior camp. And it made it again to ESPN today. And Ronald had emailed in and said, is this dead or is it not? And Matt, I will turn to you. I know that Giannis is very unhappy. He got booed the other day in Milwaukee. And the Bucks are losing. They lost big again last night. I thought, Matt, before the injury that we just saw the Warriors suffer to Jimmy Butler the other night, that Giannis, who has a great relationship with Steph Curry, might decide to chase the title. He wants to get his second one as Steph ends his career in the next couple of years. I thought after Butler got hurt, it would be a moot point, because I don't know that the Warriors have enough, even with Giannis. What do you say about this? If that package were still on the table, do you really think, A, the Bucks would go for it, and more importantly, would Giannis sign off on it?
Yeah, I think Giannis would sign off on it, because he would be playing with Steph, and he would be in a better team than he is right now. Will the Bucks sign off on it is the question. Is that enough to give away Giannis? Kuminga, Draymond Green, and then on top of that, Buddy Hield. Buddy Hield can shoot, no doubt about it. He can score. Kuminga, people are really high on him. But Draymond Green, a lot of questions get asked about Draymond. He's towards the end of his career as well. Is how much of it is because Steph runs around and can do what he does, makes Draymond effective? How effective would he be in Milwaukee if you suddenly don't have, quote-unquote, a superstar? So I don't know if Milwaukee would, but I think Giannis would sign off on it. I agree with you, though. I think even if they make that move, that doesn't make the Warriors contenders. I think the Warriors still would be, if they make that move, maybe the fifth, sixth best team in the West. I just think there is a gap where OKC, San Antonio, and Denver are kind of just away from everybody else. And then you've got Houston, who's pretty good. LA's okay. And then Golden State would probably be in that next little tier with that move, because you kind of need that third player. Now, if you had Jimmy still healthy and he didn't tear his ACL, unfortunately, then I think that's a totally different conversation. They're now in the hunt for a title. But I don't think they would be if they get Giannis. I think Giannis would sign off on it. It would get him out to the West Coast. He's out here all the time. On top of it, you would play with Steph, and you would have a better team than the team you're on. I just don't know if Milwaukee, is that enough? I know if I was the GM, that's not enough for me to trade away Giannis, who's a future Hall of Famer.
And you and I are on the same page, Matt, and Ronald, will discuss this more as the days unfold. 2 weeks, of course, until the trading deadline is done. But I'm in total agreement with you, Matt, and that is, before the Butler injury, Giannis would look at that core and say, even with Draymond gone, that there's enough for us to win there. Without Butler, I think all the Warriors would be is just competitive. And we talked about it over and over again. Giannis wants to win more titles, and he has to look at New York if that deal can be made. And most importantly, as you just referenced, avoid coming west, because, you know, the teams you delineated, you're absolutely right. OKC is a monolithic presence there. When Jokic is healthy, Denver is dangerous. With Durant in Houston, absolutely. With the Castle there, with Wemby, look out. Then you've got the Suns playing better. The Lakers are always capable if they're healthy. The Clippers have been the hottest team in basketball for a good amount of time. The West is so deep, where in the East, you've got some good teams, but nobody, I think, that's that monolithic presence. If Giannis were to arrive in New York, that he would feel, and I don't want to leave out the T-Wolves, by the way, nobody in New York with Giannis there would feel as though there's anybody better than they in the East. And also, Giannis has said he'd kind of like to market himself East. We'll see. Marriage can do strange things to you, as you and I both know. So, maybe. But anyway, Ronald, stay tuned. You'll get resolution here in the next couple of weeks. Okay, that having been said, the old glass half full, half empty routine applies to last night, Matt. I'm talking about in Albuquerque. On the one hand, you can say the Bulldogs, without their probably most key player, maybe you can take Jake and say, okay, he is the fulcrum of this thing. But as far as the captain in running the show, you were without Collins, who's the distributor. He's the guy also is at least your second leading option on a given night. He's not there as far as playing. We knew it was not likely he'd play with the hammy. So you can say, even though you fell back fairly early, you never let go of the rope. You hung in there. Gorey had a great game, and late in the game, it was more than respectable because it was a single-digit game with a couple of minutes to go. So overall, in a place where the Lobos rarely lose, they won 22 straight there, it was a solid night, and you build on that. On the other hand, you say, in point of fact, after the first few minutes, you were never really in the game. It was just window dressing, so it was a disappointing night in that regard. Where are you at in this? I know you're always a guy who sees the bright side. I respect you for that, because I'm sort of the dark cloud, as you know. Where are you in this thing from last night? Do you take something out of it that's positive, or was it an evening of could have been, but not really? Where are you at?
I take positive out of it in terms of Gorey. I think Gorey's taking that next step. You know, we talked about this last year, Tony, about what do I look for with Coach Wahlberg in his first year, and I said, right, I don't really look for much. I look for, you know, development and what he's done with his team and his players. I'm not so caught up in wins and losses in their first year. In the second year, I say, hey, it's go time. Well, I still look for development, and Gorey has really developed from where he started to where he is now. I feel like when he hit that three-point shot late early in the year in that non-conference game, I can't remember. I think it was Utah. It might have been Utah Valley that he hit it. I was calling the game. I think that helped him gain confidence. And since then, man, he has been balling out. He had 31 last night, 12 of 19 from the floor, 4 of 6 from 3, also had 14 rebounds. I think that's the positive I take away. I say, okay, Zion didn't play. New Mexico is a tough place to play. We were really never in that game. New Mexico had it comfortable pretty much the entire game. And you look at it and you go, but that was kind of Gorey's coming out party. Against a very good team on the road in a tough place to play, he dropped a 30-piece. And that's where I live. And if I'm the coaching staff, I'm like, okay, we got two really go-to scorers now, Hybreeder and Gorey. Zion can score, but he's very good at running the show. And I think that's what you try to build on really the next month and a half of the season heading into March is you say, okay, for probably the first time in Coach Wahlberg's career, he's got three legitimate players that he can look to and say, okay, they can have the ball and make good decisions and do something with it. And that's where I live. That's the positivity I take away. Because as far as the game, you didn't have Zion. It's unfortunate. They took on San Diego State. He didn't play. They took on New Mexico. He didn't play. So you're still looking for that, you know, that game on the road against a top-tier opponent and seeing where do we stand up, and you don't have all your pieces. But, I mean, like we talk about all the time, Tony, it's sports, and you don't always have all your pieces. You still got to line up. But I take positivity out of last night with Deshaun Gorey big time.
I agree with you. Not only the 31, but he had, a 14-rebound night. He's a guy who plays with energy on the defensive end. He's a very difficult matchup. He's very physical. You look at his stat line. I mean, really, and this is a freshman, for goodness sake. Played 36 minutes. Again, Jake played all 40, second time in a row. But Gorey, 12 of 19 from the field, 4 of 6 from 3, 3 of 4 from the line, 14 rebounds, two of them offensive boards, only committed two fouls, five assists. The only downside is he did have six turnovers, but that's it. Other than that, there's not a single negative on that stat line, and I'll tell you something. I don't care if you're a freshman or a fifth-year senior, or the way things work now, as Ferdy and I were talking yesterday, a seventh-year senior. that is a stat line that any coach would love to see from any player, and it, you know, Gino sent in the email. Ferg and I have talked about it. It is the elephant in the room. It might be the thundering herd in the room, not just the one elephant. How do you hang on to these guys? It's a conversation, Matty, you never would have had. Even the transfer portal stuff. Without NIL, you would say, you know what, Deshaun is here, and he's going to stay here as long as Vance is here. But you and I both know if he continues to do this, he's going to be nobody's secret. I'm not talking about, you know, the pack next year or just the West Coast. Everybody is going to know if this guy puts up these numbers that he could be, as Ferdy and I were talking yesterday, the difference maker for a club somewhere in the country with the money to pull him away. Does he stay, in your opinion, because it's a good situation, or can you say you never say never in this day and age of college ball?
That is a loaded question, and honestly, Tony, it's one of those things that I hate where we are now. If you watch a kid and you're sitting here going, man, he's averaging 14 and 8.5 boards in conference play. Yeah, I mean, he's built like Kevin Durant. He's got what you want for basketball. He's got length. He's starting to develop his shot. He's shooting 52% from the floor. Everything's a positive. Coach Wahlberg and his staff have done a great job developing the kid. The kid has put forth effort. He loves Fresno State. I see him courtside at the women's games all the time. But, yeah, I mean, he's going to have – I mean, forget if he stays. Let's just say he does stay and he wants to stay and he loves being here. You're going to have to pay him still anyway. Like, it's one of those things that you hate turning it into, like, as we talk about it almost every week, Tony, professional contracts. But when you start playing the way the person's playing, it's like the free agency where you say their money just keeps going up. I mean, his money just keeps going up, Tony. That's just plain and simple. I mean, he's a big-time player. And the potential on a kid like that, too, and from everything that I've heard, And everything I've been around, I haven't been around obviously much as Paul and Coach Q. He's a great kid. So you don't have to worry about anything with him either, which coaches love. If it's one of those things where you can say, hey, he's not going to get in any trouble. He's going to play. All he wants to do is hoop. I mean, that's the elephant in the room, Tony. And I know I'll tell you one thing. When the season's over, he's number one target, no doubt about it, for Coach Wahlberg. You go and you got to keep him. But he's not a secret. And you said even if he continues playing, I think he's played well enough that it doesn't even matter, honestly, because he's already shown you what he's capable of doing. And what happens a lot of times with coaches is they'll look at a player and they'll say, he's already shown me what he's capable. Let's say, not Gorey, but let's just pick a player and they say they're suddenly inconsistent. A coach will say, yeah, but he's shown me that he can do this at this level. I can make him consistent. And that's all. I mean, so he's already shown what he can do. And like I said, 31 last night in the pit. I know, man. He's a very good player. And Coach Wahlberg and his staff have done such a good job with him. And like, if this was years ago, we're not even thinking about this. But nowadays, I mean, you hope he stays, like I say with everybody. But just because a kid enters the portal and leaves does not mean they don't like the coach and they don't like the school. It's just simple dollars and cents. But let's just hope he continues performing like this. You know, you kind of – I'm a big believer that you live in the moment. So one season is its own entity. So you just hope he keeps performing like this just to help Fresno State basketball and maybe possibly make a run in March. And then when the season ends, whenever it does, then you attack it.
Yeah, you know, Matt, I hope your approach is correct, and it's the same approach the coaching staff has to have. And your point is well taken, by the way, that it is not as though it's either playing for free here or getting paid somewhere else. You're going to get paid regardless. It's a matter of level of pay. You know, we were talking about this, Paul and I had this conversation when Paul Skeens was at Air Force, right? And he transfers to LSU, and the reason is, first of all, he was positioning himself for the draft, and he, of course, now is one of the top five pitchers in Major League Baseball. But the biggest factor was, if you wanted to look at it from an Air Force point of view, they could not pay NIL money. So you really were going to be looking at either nothing or something somewhere else like LSU, where, trust me, they're paying for players, okay? Fresno State is willing to pay. It just comes down to, if it's Fresno State against Boise State, for instance, and I know that the Broncos have some money with the corporate entities up around Boise, Idaho, or even San Diego, which has obviously more major corporations around it than Fresno does here, there's still a way to match the funds and keep somebody. If, however, it's Kentucky or somebody, now that's where, what are you going to do, Matt? I mean, you hope that he wants to stay for personal relationships, but you know deep down you can't match the money nor the schedules. So because of that, where does winning fit into this thing? I mean, is it up to each individual player, or as a former player yourself, do you say we're undervaluing winning when we talk about where a guy might go?
I wouldn't say you're undervaluing winning, because you could use that same argument and say, let's not use Gorey, but let's use any kid. Let's say they're at a mid-major, and you say Duke comes in and they want to offer money. Does that kid have a better chance of winning a national title where he's at, or at Duke? He has a better chance to win a national title at Duke. So winning can still be on the table. What the issue is, and this is my biggest issue with it, it's not the winning, it's not the pay, it's not anything like that. It's just the coach that discovered the kid, that then developed the kid for a year, 2 years, whatever, gets nothing back in return. In professional sports, unless the guy's a free agent, you still get something back in return. You're talking about Giannis in a trade. Milwaukee would get something back in return. You're talking about buyouts in professional European soccer. You get something back in return. Only in collegiate sports do you get nothing back in return. And that's my biggest problem with it. It's not so much the kid leaving. It's that the coach that had him previously gets nothing for it. And there's no rules, no guidelines in place. So a kid can leave and actually want to win more. A kid can leave and get paid more. And a kid can leave and have a bigger role. All three things can be perfectly true. My argument is the coach still that found you, let's say it's an under-the-radar kid who then they've developed, and the kid with his hard work or her hard work has made themselves an even better player, I think that the coach that had him should get something back for that. Otherwise, you're just basically developing a kid just to, get him to that next spot. And I think that's where my problem is.
Well, we'll see what happens. I mean, look, if winning is important, and you're right, in the national championship and the chance to compete, even though San Diego State got there, it was an improbable run that ended a few years ago. So you can't count on it coming from the conference, it has a better chance than in football from a mid-major that you're getting there, trust me. But still, you do have to factor that in. I know there are people around the program that will tell you privately that they honestly believe that Gorey will stay as long as Vance is the coach. Now, whether that's the case or not, who knows? And someone can have that intent. And then all of a sudden, you know, again, you and I talked about that, right, when you had Kennedy, the pitcher of the year. I don't think she ever thought she was leaving Stanford, particularly when they gave her a $600,000 offer. Yet here comes, you know, the major benefactor of Texas Tech with $1 million deal, which was rolled over, by the way, to another $1 million deal. I don't know that she counted on that, but she sure as hell wasn't going to turn it down, right?
Right, and I'll give you another one. Remember all the Dukies were telling me Cooper Flagg was going to stay? Cooper
right,
Flagg
yeah, exactly.
is what took in the NBA draft. I mean, yeah, a kid can like it. A kid can have that intent, and then it just can change. And honestly, it can change. It doesn't mean anything bad happened. It can be a different move that you make. But, yeah, Gorey, he's a fantastic player. I really have enjoyed watching him develop, no doubt about it. The sky's the limit for that young kid. And I love the fact that he's just a good kid. He really is. Everything I've been around, he's just been a really good kid, loves to hoop, and I love those kids like that that just want a ball. All he want to do is just go out and play, and he's that kind of kid. And for Coach Wahlberg and their staff, you hope he stays, but let's see how he finishes up, and hopefully he continues to just continue to improve, because then now you have two go-to scorers in Heidbreeder and Gorey, and then Zion running the show. That makes Fresno State a much better basketball team, no doubt about it.
Well, this team right now has a really nice potential core of outstanding players. Say potential because a lot of them, and I'm not talking about Jake and guys that have been around, but when you talk about Gorey, Stickman, some of the younger guys, you know, three or four freshmen in addition to those two, there's a real nice core being built. The question is whether you can keep it together, you know, whether the coaching staff is here long term, all of these things. But it is definitely more complicated now than it ever has been before. The other thing on the court itself, just talking with Fertig yesterday about the potential to you know, pick up, again, the old axiom, right, win at home and split on the road, the potential to pick up a few on the road at Air Force, et cetera, and be close to break even the rest of the way on the road, and then sweep your home games the rest of the way. Now, you're not the only real daunting task on the road left is at Logan, but all of a sudden, Matt, as I referenced, Grand Canyon, who was a good program, has beaten both San Diego State and Utah State at home in Phoenix in the last week or so. So at 4:30 on Saturday, what do you anticipate seeing from Fresno State? They better bring their A game or they're going to lose at home, right?
Oh, yeah. That's going to be a game you got to bring it. Otherwise, dude, you could lose by double digits. GCU can play ball. We've seen it. They've gone to the NCAA tournament the last 2 years. They won an NCAA tournament game. They can hoop. They're athletic. This will be a tough game. I told you going into this season, I thought GCU was the top three team in the Mountain West Conference coming into this year. So I told you how high I think they are. They're just only going to continue to get better. If Fresno State gets a win on Saturday over GCU, I actually think for Coach Wahlberg, you know how we were talking last week about signature win? I think that's a signature win. You would beat a team that's gone to the NCAA tournament the last 2 years, won a game in the NCAA tournament, a team that knocked off Utah State and San Diego State, is playing good basketball right now, a very well-coached team, and you win at home. That, yeah, it's a home game, but that's a big-time victory. I think that would then tell the fans, that tells your team itself, hey, look, we can compete with the top tier in this conference. Because truthfully, Tony, you need a win over someone that's in that top five spot in the Mountain West Conference. You just do. It's not even so much just to prove it to the fans. You just want your team to have belief. And coaches can have all the confidence. You can have all the positivity you want. But the true belief as a player comes from getting one of those dubs. And so if they can pick up one on Saturday, which will be a big if, it's a big-time game and they can play. But if you can get that win on Saturday, it changes the entire second half of the Mountain West Conference season, because the midway point is on Saturday. And then look out for Fresno State, because they'll be dangerous come March, no doubt about it, in the conference tournament. And they're just going to continue to try to climb up as high as they can in the Mountain West.
Yeah, you're right. The other thing is, and you know, it's not relevant right now because it is what it is. But I just wonder, and I know that Grand Canyon wanted to move up, if they would have maybe waited just a little bit rather than jumping into the Mountain West right now, whether there would have been room for them in the pack, because they're bringing Gonzaga in, and, you know, this would just be another real good associate program to bring in. But because we've talked, the reason is Grand Canyon, as a private school, does have money, and basketball is their main focus because they don't have the you know, the major football issue in front of them. And they are a quality program. They've been a quality program since Dan Marley was coaching them, for goodness sake. So I'd like them to be successful for the sake of the conference. I just wish the conference that they were going to would not be the Mountain West. I mean, they've gotten there now, and that they would have waited and cut a deal in the pack, because as we talked about the pack, where it goes from here is going to determine the viability of the pack. In other words, they were able to lop off schools financially and otherwise, but now you have to build. You can't just sit long-term at 8 and, you know, 9 or whatever you're going to have for basketball. You got to get yourself built up, and it has to be with the right teams. And certainly Gonzaga, the right school for your basketball program. No doubt Dallas Baptist, right for your baseball program. Grand Canyon would have been really nice, I think, in the pack. Now, if the Mountain West falls to pieces, then all bets are off again about a school like that. Anyway, 4:30 on Saturday at SMC, Grand Canyon Inn, and they did just, they beat San Diego State 70-69, what was it, last night, I think, and then they had beaten Utah State earlier, so earlier in the week, I think back on the 17th, so back-to-back wins against the two top teams in the conference, although New Mexico has to be thrown in there as well. The game in front of Grand Canyon and Fresno State, 2 o'clock, Colorado State and Fresno State's women's team. That's a game Matt will call. And Matt, losing by 8 at Boise last night, disappointed in that, or saying, you know, they hung around, had the lead at half, they just couldn't close the deal? Are they making progress? Where are you at with the women's program right now?
Yeah, they're definitely making progress. I think that's a game, another game where you feel like, oh, you could have possibly stole one. Boise is a very good women's basketball program. Coach Gordy Presnell does a great job with his team, and Fresno State and Boise have had some pretty good battles over the years. But again, it's a game where you have it's a little lead, but you had a lead at half by 2. It's a close game. It's kind of the same that against Colorado State, they had a lead at the half. They've had a lead at the end of a quarter or at the end of a half against every team on the road this season. They led at UNLV after the first quarter, then the second quarter did them in. Colorado State, as I mentioned, they led at halftime, then the third quarter did them in. Third quarter did them in against Boise State last night. That's something that I think when you delve deeper into it, you get a little bit more pressure in that third quarter. You come out of halftime, a team that maybe is down to Fresno State, they'll come out with a little bit more fire. Fresno State turns the basketball over a little bit more. They don't shoot the ball as well, and then all of a sudden it's a big third quarter run, and then you're down going in the fourth, you're playing catch up, and it's tough to do on the road. I think that's kind of been the issue for Fresno State. But I'm definitely pleased with the development and how much better they've gotten. But if you want me to break it down, it's into two categories. They foul too much, and they turn the ball over too much. They do force turnovers, but they're turning it over too much, and they foul too much. And that's just in games like that, that's kind of sometimes the difference between wins and losses. And you need a few more easy buckets, too, I think, if you're Fresno State. Fresno State usually does a good job dominating points in the paint. As I mentioned last week, they're number one in rebounding in the Mountain West Conference. But if you're trying to, obviously, you're always striving for perfection, which you will never get. But the two categories they've got to change is they foul too much and they turn the ball over too much. They've got to just take care of the basketball. I think last night they had 18 turnovers. You can't have that many turnovers in a game that's critical like that, because that can just come back in crucial situations and come back and get you. And that's kind of what happened last night. But overall, I am definitely pleased with where they're at. And you know how I talk about it, first year coach, they're 500 overall for the season, and they're 4-5 in the Mountain West Conference. I'm pretty pleased with what coach has done so far in his first season, and I really think he's going to be a very good coach for Fresno State the next bunch of years once he starts really getting his players and his recruits as a full year behind him and all of that. But for the rest of this season, I think it's going to be one of those where they're going to win some games and they're going to lose some games just because of the turnovers and fouling too much right now.
Right. And again, 2 o'clock, Colorado State in at SMC. The men follow at 4:30. So I hope people can get out there on Saturday. One final question, Matt, about the basketball tied together, both teams. We have seen Vance adjust a little bit in the pace of play where he would prefer to be. You know, Pete Gillen last night saying, and he wasn't wrong, but it's jarring to think about, when he said Fresno State's goal is to kind of slow this thing down and to kind of take the life out of this crowd at the Pit. And you think, wow, you know, Vance Wahlberg ever slowing things down is not likely, but the Bulldogs have turned it back a little bit, not forcing things the way we have seen teams. And I don't mean forcing in a negative sense. I mean forcing tempo all the time, that they're a little more careful with that. And, of course, without Collins, they're going to be even more careful last night. So they're not quite at the pace that Vance would like long term. The same thing applies with McCarthy and the women. Is this a concession to the lack of depth right now vis-a-vis the experience you need? Meaning you have the bodies, but you don't have a second unit, for instance, that can come in and do everything you want. Have both teams, both coaches dialing it back just a little bit right now in the pace of game they prefer to play, Matt?
Yeah, 100%. They're dialing back just a touch. And, I mean, they probably won't say it on the air, or maybe they will, of what the reason is. But yeah, depth is the whole thing. If you're going to play that kind of pace, you've got to have depth. And what's happened with the NIL, I don't think it's so much a this year injury kind of thing as so much as the NIL is a big part of this. When you've got the NIL, your gap probably from your top three players to that 8, 9, 10 is a decent gap. And so what happens is, when you've got to give your top three players a break and you bring in your 8, 9, 10 player, that's where things can go wrong. And you see it around the country. It's not just a Fresno State issue. It's an issue around the country. So if you don't have that kind of depth, it's hard to play that kind of pace. But with the NIL, which is what I asked you, I had mentioned this to you maybe a couple of years ago, I said, I just don't know how you play that kind of style without that kind of depth. And I think it's more prevalent at the mid-major level than it is at the P4 level. And so that's kind of what I think the theme I'm seeing, not just with Fresno State, but around, is you just can't really play that pace because the drop-off is so much. And if you play that pace, let's be honest, you can't play that pace 40 minutes to your top three players every single game, night in, night out. They've got to take a break. And when they take that break, then that's when another team could theoretically go on a run. You might hit a scoring drought. So you got to keep one of those players on the floor at all times. So you got to be very shifty in how you substitute. So what in turn you do is you maybe just dial it back a little bit so that you can have more legs in your top players, so that then you can have the scoring and you can still not have that big of a drop-off that you would have if you just played as fast as you want to. And I think that's what I'm seeing more so than anything around mid-major basketball. And then with Fresno State, yeah, they kind of toned it down just a little bit. I mean, and that's a good call. It's a good call, Tony, because you can't play that style of pace if you don't have the depth, whether it's injury, illness, whatever it is. You just can't play it if you don't have it. And I think it's good coaching, and I think it's the right move.
Yeah, you know, Matt, it's so interesting. The Warriors and Knicks played last week, and they played a game, and I don't know how or why this happened. Maybe it's because Mike Brown was coming back, you know, after he was with the Warriors for three of their titles as an assistant coach. But that game was played a week ago with such intensity and such fervor and at a breakneck pace that looked at it and you said, you know what, there's no way in the world you can do this in the case of the NBA for 82 games. You're going to break if you do that. Now, I know in college you don't have that pace for 82 games, but we're just talking about Will Richard of the Warriors mentioning that, you know, he has to reorient now because after playing and winning a national championship, like he said, they played more games right now, well beyond what they played for the entirety of last year in Florida. Okay, Paul? I mean, you can't play at that pace. You know, this is the anniversary 20 years ago. Kobe scored 81 against Toronto on this date back in 06. And the pace of play in the NBA, Matt, as you know, was a lot slower than it is now. People are playing the game when they play at the highest level of intensity in a way that I don't know that it's sustainable anywhere. because the ball is just flying up and down the court in most circumstances. And you know this, no matter what a coach might say, if one team pushes the pace and it creates transition the other way, too many great athletes right now, they fall into the trap of running with them, right? And you get a game that maybe a coach who even wants to be up-tempo says, I don't want to be this much up-tempo. And I've seen both Fresno State teams kind of adjust, though you know this. If they get the depth they want, they're going to be more than happy to dare anybody to run with them. It's just a question of can you get it, right?
Exactly. Yeah, if they have the depth and the depth is healthy, then yeah, then they're going to want to push the pace. Coach McCarthy and Coach Wahlberg, that's exactly what they want to do. That's in their DNA. But also, if you don't have it, you don't want to push it, because what ends up happening is you're still, at the end of the day, what's the goal of sports? You're trying to win, and you want to put your team in the best position to win. You don't just come out and say, I'm just going to push the pace because that's the style of play we play. You might lose by 20, but then if you slow it down a hair, you might steal the game. So it's a good coaching move. It's a total good coaching move. I like what he's done. I like it. They pick and choose their spots too, Tony. And that's the other thing you got to realize too, because you can't do it night in, night out. You might pick a game and say, okay, this is the game. I'm playing them 40. But then the next game, you're like, we can't play that pace. You can't go back to back doing that. Get off a flight and you say, oh, we're going to do this and we're going to play it again this one. And then you're going to wear down your team. You're going to break them down. And so I like the strategy that they're both doing. But yeah, if you don't have the depth, no chance you can play that style.
Well, I'll tell you what, looking forward to Saturday. It should be two quality games. Hope people get out there too. See the women, the men at 4:30. Matt, have a great broadcast. Tell Q, Paul, and Taylor I said hello, and you and I will reconvene next week, my friend. Always appreciate it. Take care.
Yeah, anytime, Tony, and I will do. Anytime.
All right. My great friend, Matt Norble. Take a break. Come back, tell you about the schedule, hand it off to Phil. He has three outstanding hours behind the bench, the full length today at Fashion Furniture. We'll tell you about the schedule after this as the Bulldog Hour continues on this Thursday on Central Valley Sports Leader, 1430 ESPN. Everybody, welcome back. 2:50, about 5 minutes ago in the show, handed off to Phil's outstanding show behind the bench. Full 3 hours at Fashion Furniture today. Tell you about the schedule in just a moment for both 790 and 1430. But first, I want to remind you one more time about our friends at the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. They are featuring the new Zinger chicken sandwich right now. It's crispy. It's a hand-breaded chicken filet. It's seasoned just right. It's served on a hot toasted bun with cool, crisp lettuce and creamy sauce. It hits every craving. It's bold. It's spicy. And always at KFC, it's finger looking good. So whether you're looking for the spice or just the great taste, the Zinger delivers it with the very noted and long-term benefit of the KFC crunch that makes everything so great there at the local KFC. So don't wait. Jump on in. Grab the Zinger chicken sandwich today at your local KFCs. Also, keep in mind the $10 eight-piece or eight-tender offering on Tuesday, the Country Fried Steak offer on Wednesday, the $5 bowls, the chicken pies, a lot of great food at the local KFCs. And if you do stop in, tell them thanks for supporting athletics throughout this great valley of ours. Anyway, thanks, as always, to the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. As far as the schedule goes, for both 1430 and 790, it comes courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his outstanding business, Precision Civil Engineering, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management, all there under one roof, 449-4500, precisioneng.net for more information. And again, we commend Ed for the great fundraising he does through the Lyles College of Engineering on campus at Fresno State. Always the goal to unify athletics and academics to provide more funding resources to students. It's worked beautifully over the years, and Precision sees a lot of those grads from the Lyles College of Engineering on campus come to work for Ed at Precision Civil Engineering. Far as the schedule goes, on 1430 tonight, Lakers and the Clippers, 6:45, the pre, a 7 o'clock drop for the Lakers, and direct tip at, 7:08 or thereabout. So we'll see how it plays out as the Lakers try to slow down the Clippers, who's got off to an absolutely awful, and I do mean awful, start and have been as hot as anybody in the NBA for the last several weeks. And so a challenge for the Lakers. And anybody who didn't read the maneuvering, the Game of Thrones, Godfather-like maneuvering of Jeannie Buss, to get rid of her brothers, keep her gig and some billions dollar-wise as well. Cold-blooded, but very effective. You should read it. Baxter Holmes has the piece at ESPN.com. Anyway, Lakers tonight and Lakers over the weekend. Sharks tomorrow with the Rangers in, so stay tuned for that. And, of course, the feature for us will be the NFC and AFC championship games from Westwood One on Sunday leading up to the Super Bowl. In a couple of weeks, we'll have that one for you as well. Noon kick on Sunday for the Broncos and the Patriots, and then 3:30 they'll kick it or thereabouts in Seattle, the Rams and the Seahawks playing for the third time this year. Both previous matchups very close, a classic one a few weeks ago in Seattle, and then the one not that far removed, I think week 11, then the Rams hung on the win at SoFi on a missed field goal by Seattle at the end of the game. So very competitive. The two best teams, I think, not only in the NFC, but the two best teams in football right now. And as I mentioned yesterday, whoever wins the rubber match of the three-game set between them on Sunday, I think will go on to win the Super Bowl at Levi's in a couple of weeks, mainly because Bo Nix is out, and I don't see how Denver is going to survive against New England, though it should be noted the last time the Super Bowl was at Levi's, it was Peyton Manning and the Broncos beating the Carolina Panthers. So we'll see how it plays out. But those two games are on Sunday. The last reminder is here as far as the regular lineup goes. Phil normally 3 to 6 Monday through Friday with his fine show Behind the Bench. That's the case today. Again, at Fashion Furniture with our good friend Rod Avedikian in El Paso across from River Park. Best furniture on the planet. Nothing like it in all of California. The great conversation of Phil's show. You can reach him on the Leaves Our Hotline if you can't make it in person, 559-320-1430. Some good eats as well. Stop in and see him if you can. Check out the furniture any day of the week there. El Paso across from River Park. Sometimes Phil's schedule gets moved a little bit because of play-by-play, but the full 3 hours today. Paul Metters, who's with Phil for high school basketball, has two fine shows. Sunbird Sports Show on our sister station, the Deuce 790, 6 to 7 on Wednesday evenings, all about Fresno Pacific Athletics. And then Saturday morning, Paul has his long-running and outstanding show live from First Ring Sports, 10 a.m. to noon. That's Central Valley Sports Report. We are with you every day at 2 o'clock. You can reach me, TDAD1 at ATT.net, TDAD, the number one, at ATT.net. First names are fine. Everything for the station, 1430 ESPN, Fresno.com. You get the live links and podcast there. Get the app. Makes it a lot easier to listen. Thanks, as always, to Jorge for his great work on the board. He'll be with you with Phil momentarily. Thanks, as always, to Matt Norville. I'll talk football, Fresno State football, with Jackson Moore tomorrow at 2:05. And then, of course, we'll lead up to the title games for both the AFC and the NFC. So we'll touch a little bit upon that and get Jackson's picks if we can for those two games that will lead up to the Super Bowl in a couple of weeks. All right, guys, we are done. Thanks again to Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering. Thanks to the local operators of KFC in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. And thanks to Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. Again, give Phil a call on the Lee's Air Hotline, 559-320-1430. He's coming up from Fashion Furniture momentarily. See you guys tomorrow with Jackson Moore at 2:05 on KFIG Fresno.